Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we'll be reading a story called When I Was Eight, The Kids Presenters in My Favorite Show Scarred Me for Life by none other than Trash Tia, because she makes amazing stories. So I hope you enjoy it, and we'll see you at the end. Do any of you guys remember the kids' show slash band Dazzle? I'm the only one who remembers its existence. Aimed at preschoolers and up, the show started off as a simple educational sitcom for little kids, originating in Australia. But as it grew in popularity worldwide, the core members became a popular children's band with respective colors. Newcomer Nicholas was yellow, Felix purple on main vocals, Cora blue playing guitar, and Phoebe green on the keyboard. Nicholas was my favorite. He was the youngest, so I was a delusional 8-year-old with my first huge crush. I don't think I can describe how obsessed I was with these people. I had their merchandise, and my room was Dazzle-themed in their signature colors. I had every album they released, along with the special editions. Like Felix's bedazzled cover, the one where his face moved if you waved it around. Cora's version was deep blue, mermaid-themed, and Nicholas's was bright yellow, just like his color. When they announced a national tour, I begged Mum to take me. After sold-out gigs in America, Dazzle were doing a homecoming tour, starting in our city. Tickets were expensive, and I wanted to be right at the front. I wanted to be able to see every freckle on Nicholas's face and sing their signature phrase, "Who's dazzling today?" in the flesh. Phoebe was known for throwing her foam drumsticks into the crowd, and I wanted to be the one to catch them. Mom said I could go, as long as I helped her clean the car. She scored us front row tickets as an early birthday present. In the car on the way into the city, I insisted on listening to their songs, making Mum sing along. Their best and catchiest song was 1, 2, 3, How About Me? I knew every word, even the moves to go with it. Hands in the air, wiggle your fingers, touch your toes, and spin. The venue was already heaving when we arrived, and I found myself being pushed and shoved by older Dazzle fans. I squeezed Mum's hand tighter, and we found our seats. There was a boy in the seat next to mine with Dazzle sunglasses. He told me his favorite was Felix, because of the funny smile he did before he started to sing. I held my breath when the stage lit up. And there they were, each colorful spotlight announced a member. Nicholas looked directly at me, his smile wide and friendly, just like on my album cover. The concert was life-changing. I bounced up and down and sang until my throat was dry. Even Mum joined in. When they left the stage and the show was over, we demanded an encore. I remember screaming it, thousands of us squashed together and chanting. Nicholas jumped onto the stage and was yanked back by Felix. "Does anyone have any food?" Nicholas panted into his mic, surprising us all. He bent over, grasping his knees. "I'm so hungry, guys. I feel like I could eat a horse." He's kidding. Felix grinned into his embezzled microphone, waving his arms. "You've been a great crowd." "No, I'm hungry." Nicholas straightened up. This time he looked out into the crowd, his gaze finding mine. He lifted his mic again. "Do you guys have any food?" "Is this part of the show?" Mum whispered to me. I shrugged. "I think so." Felix nudged Nicholas, the two of them play fighting. The girls came on to pull them both off stage. "Stop asking them for food," Felix laughed. "We've already eaten." Nicholas's bottom lip wobbled. "But I'm hungry." We all laughed because the two had a love-hate relationship on the show and on stage. But my favorite member wasn't smiling. When Felix playfully pulled him into a headlock, Nicholas actively tried to scramble away, ignoring our giggles. Usually, Nicholas liked our laughter. In the show, he turned to the on-screen audience with a wide smile. "I'm not hearing enough laughing," he would shout, pulling a funny face with his tongue sticking out, sending the kids into fits of hysterical giggles. This Nicholas looked like he had a tummy ache. I never noticed how pale he was now his signature color wasn't bathing him. The girl next to me didn't seem to notice. "Nicholas, I have peanut butter snacks," she squeaked, inciting a chorus of his name from my row. Her screams grew louder when he followed Felix off stage. I got a funny feeling in my stomach when he turned towards us one last time, out of breath, sandy-colored hair glued to his forehead. He opened his mouth like he was going to speak before Phoebe's arm appeared out of nowhere, making us all squeal in delight and pulling him out of view. The boy next to me cupped his mouth. "Bring him back!" Other kids followed, demanding Nicholas back. When the crowd had quieted down and Mom and I were making our way out of the venue, I got a funny feeling in my tummy. We had hot dogs before the show and the sauce tasted weird. Mom was always conscious about my health and made me paranoid about getting sick, so I started to feel sickly. Before I could embarrass myself in front of the other kids, I turned to Mom quickly. "Mom, I need to go to the bathroom." She nodded, her head's already creased with worry. "Do you feel unwell?" I shook my head. "No," I lied. "Do you want me to come with you?" I was already backing away, tears stinging my eyes. "No, I'm okay." I could already taste the slimy hot dog filling the back of my mouth. Mom said something but didn't hear her, already throwing myself through the crowd. A nice man in a suit pointed me toward a large metal door, and when I crashed through, my hands stapled over my mouth, I found myself on a long white corridor that was nicer than the ones inside the venue. There were pretty white lights, and when I looked closer, I glimpsed a snack table leaning against the wall. I could see cookies and cupcakes, a giant chocolate cake, and plastic cups of fruit. There was a strip of paper placed next to a glass of water, for talent only. I found the girls' bathroom quickly. Luckily, I didn't barf, but I did spend 5 minutes on the toilet. Mom gave me a phone for emergencies, but was this really an emergency? I felt much better after splashing my face, and the reality of where I was started to hit me. I definitely saw an official-looking security guard on my way in. Leaving the bathroom, I was back on the fancy-looking hallway. "Mom," I thought. I had to get back to her, but my legs had a mind of their own, excitement twisting in my chest. I could see it right at the end of the hallway. Dazzle. The door was bright green, a piece of paper stuck onto the front. Dressing room. No way. I was glued to the spot, trying to figure out how much trouble I would be in if I took a peek, when I remembered Dazzle's words before the show. "Remember, kids, always stop us to say hello. We love all of our fans." That meant I could go and see them, right? I was giddy, already moving towards the dressing room. Closer, I could hear my heart in my ears. The door was open slightly, and when I reached the door, pressing my face against cold wood, I could hear muffled voices. Was it Dazzle? It didn't sound like it. Straining my ears, I could hear what sounded like eating and laughing. They sounded like my big brother when he was eating chicken, ripping the skin off of the bone. "What do we do with this one?" "Felix." I heard him perfectly loud and clear. "What do we do with the others?" Phoebe's voice was a giggle. More eating. They sounded like they were having really good chicken. "Dump them." A chorus of laughter followed, the sound of teeth gnashing together. I couldn't resist pushing the door open further. When I did, poking my head through the gap, I glimpsed something bright red on the carpeted floor. It looked like one of them had spilled a drink. Still, though, I was so excited to introduce myself. I readied myself, pulling my ponytail from my hood and brushing down my sweater. But the red was moving, I noticed. Thick red pooling across the carpet. I looked closer, and there was someone curled up on the floor. Sleeping, maybe? Maybe their show was tiring. What I did notice was a crown of flowers adorned their hair. The flowers were pretty, wild roses and even mushrooms tangled into an entanglement of vine. "Damn," Phoebe surprised me by saying a bad word. Her mouth sounded like it was full. I could see her sparkly heels. "He's bleeding all over my new shoes." "Cry about it, Phoebes." I could see Cora on her knees. She was bent over the person on the floor, her long blonde hair glued to her face. It looked like she was whispering something in his ear. Maybe it was a joke. That's why it was on the floor. Was he laughing? When she lifted her head, her lips were red, stringy pieces of white clinging to her teeth. "Chicken," I thought dizzily, my body already trying to drag me backwards. "Chicken." I took a shaky step back when Felix joined her, this time whispering into the man's neck. "Chicken." Felix was getting chicken all over his mouth and chin. I could see it dripping down his neck, streaks of deep, dark red staining his costume. When he delved back into the flesh of the man's neck, his mouth full of pinkish mush. I couldn't call it chicken anymore. Felix was laughing with the others, the three of them feasting on every part of him. They moved like animals on the TV, toes primed, snarling over territory. When Cora ripped into the lump's stomach, pulling out fistfuls of sausages, Phoebe snatched them out of her hands with an animal-like squawk. I couldn't move. My mouth was full of sour-tasting water, but I was paralyzed, my gaze glued to the growing stream of scarlet underneath them. The splatters on the walls, on their costumes, their grinning faces when they fought over chunks of fleshy red. I finally stumbled back when Cora's teeth punctured the back of his head. The sound of her gnawing through bone sent me into fight or flight. I didn't realize I was crying, my chest heaving, until my feet were staggering back, one hand pressed over my mouth. One step, I counted them. Two. Mom would come get me. I reached into my pocket. My hands were shaking too much. "Do you guys smell that?" Cora's voice sent me into a run, the others murmuring in agreement. "It's a child." My mouth opened in an attempt to call for Mom, but my feet tangled and I tripped. "Hey, kid." The familiar voice forced me back to my trembling feet. I took two steps back and, remembering what was behind me, I came to an abrupt halt, panting into my hand. I couldn't breathe. The lights were blinding and my breath smelled like barf. In front of me, bathed in too bright light, was my favorite member, Nicholas. Initially, Nicholas looked like he always did on Dazzle and on stage. He was still in his costume. The sparkly purple looked exactly the same as it did 30 minutes ago. There was no red, no chicken dripping from his chin. But the more my eyes adjusted to the light, there were small things that jumped out at me. The teasing smile I thought I knew was curled, eyes narrowed, raking me up and down. Slowly, the boy cocked his head. "You look lost, kid." He started towards me in a saunter. "Do you mind helping me out?" His head stayed cocked at an unnatural angle. "I haven't eaten since this morning. Do you have, like, a protein bar or something?" I shook my head, but he kept coming, quickening his pace. "No," I whispered into my hand before peeling it from my mouth. "I want my mom." Nicholas nodded, head still inclined 90 degrees. "How about a candy bar?" I didn't move. I couldn't. "Please." I was already crying, sniffling into my hand. Nicholas didn't stop. Closing the distance between us, I could smell his breath, rancid and wrong. "I'm so hungry," he whispered, shoulders slumping, the left side of his face drooping. Now I was closer. I could see the slightest smudge of red on the corner of his lips. "Please, can you help me?" Nicholas's eyes grew frightened, elongated teeth coming out in what looked like a snarl. But I don't think he knew how to use them. He prodded them with his index, wincing. "They've stopped feeding us normal food." He surprised me with a hiss, his hands clawing at his hair. "I'm so damn hungry." He straightened his head, and I flinched at the sound of cracking bones. "Sorry, kid. What's your name?"
"Ruby,"
I whispered. "Okay, Ruby." Nicholas took a step toward me. He grabbed my hand and pulled me away from the door. "Do you have a phone?" I found myself half nodding, reaching into my pocket.
"Yes."
Nicholas's expression brightened. He heaved out a breath, swiping at his mouth with his sleeve. "Step closer to me," he murmured, his gaze flicking to the ceiling. "We need to look like we're having a conversation, Ruby, or they'll get suspicious." His eyes were sincere. Nicholas pointed at the ceiling. "If we don't do what we're supposed to do, bad things will happen." I did, taking small, hesitant steps.
"Who are they?"
I whispered, gesturing to the ceiling with my eyes. He paused, his nose wrinkling.
"The Queen."
Nicholas held out his hand.
"Give me the phone."
"Why?"
"So I can call the cops," he said softly. "Those people aren't my friends."
His eyes darkened, gesturing to the dressing room.
"They're bad people, and they're watching us right now."
The guy wiggled his hand, his eyes flicking to the cameras dotted in each corner.
"I just want to go home like you. Back to my mom. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to eat real food again."
I sniffled.
Before I could stop myself, I was sobbing into my hand. I couldn't stop shaking.
Phoebe and Felix and Cora,
I muffled into my hand.
They were eating someone. I saw them.
I know. Nicholas's voice was soft, and I trusted it. Give me the phone, and I'll call the police, and then your mummy.
Okay.
I pulled out the phone and pressed it into his hand. With a small smile, Nicholas took the phone. I eagerly watched him dial a number, but his fingers danced across the screen instead. When I opened my mouth to remind him to be quick, he tightened his grip on the phone, so tight, squeezing it in his fist until the screen splintered. Nicholas was smiling when he dropped the remnants of the phone on the carpet. I'm sorry. He did sound sorry. I don't think he was lying. His eyes were sad, lips parted like he wanted to say more. I don't think he understood his teeth, sharp, elongated spikes. But you're the new tribute. I was already backing away, but he followed in long strides. I'm not going to tell you why we are like this, why I'm like this, because I would be here all day and I'm so hungry, dude. You have no idea. I turned to run, but his fingers were already clinging onto my jacket. Did you know I used to work in a bookshop? He laughed, pulling me back like we were playing. He sounded just like he did on stage. Yep, when I lived in Cairns, I worked in a bookshop while going to school. I didn't even go by Nicholas back then. That's my Dazzle name. He yanked me again, this time by my hair. You would like my real name, Ruby. I was named after a famous dog. He sighed. That was a long time ago. I screamed, biting at his fingers wrapped around my arm. I thought security was going to come, but the door stayed shut. He wouldn't let go, tightening his hold. Anyway, like I said, you don't want my sob story, kid. We pick our tributes from the audience. Cora works her magic, and you guys come straight to us. He laughed, slamming his hand over my mouth when a raw screech clawed from my throat. Isn't she amazing? Dude, Phoebe is magic, and I mean the real kind. I was still muffling into Nicholas's ice-cold hand when he shoved me into the dressing room. I dropped onto my hands and knees, my palms slick and wet. The body of the man was no longer there, only stripped bone and half of a skull. The others loomed over me, faces smeared red and shining eyes.
A child, Nicholas?
Cora swiped at her bloody mouth with the back of her hand. Her teeth were still glistening.
Lame?
She folded her arms. For a fledge. I tried to jump up, but Nicholas gently lowered me back onto my knees.
What?
I could hear the feral snarl in his voice.
She's food. Don't complain.
Felix was leaning against the wall, his funny colored eyes drinking me in. He folded his arms, inclining his head.
It's a child, his lips curled.
They were very clear that we can't eat children. We pick tributes from security and parents. Phoebe, who was sitting on the makeup table, her legs dangling, shrugged. She played with her hair, plaiting strands that were still glued together, sticky with blood.
Well, it's not like we have to tell anyone, she said. It can be our secret. I've always wanted to taste human children, but Mother is so controlling.
Felix scowled. He twisted to the girl.
You're in on this?
The girl grinned.
Oh, come on, you just know it will upset the Queen.
Her eyes found mine.
She's so territorial about kids.
I can see why. Phoebe jumped off of the table, landing perfectly poised.
Come on, it'll be fun.
Exactly.
Nicholas bent down in front of their last meal and plucked the crown of blood-stained flowers from his head. He turned to me, holding the crown.
Neil,
I found my voice.
I want my mom.
I swiped at my face with my bloody fingers, tears blurring my vision. Felix joined Nicholas, throwing an arm around the boy.
You do realize they're watching us, he murmured.
So if they find out about this, we are so screwed. You know what will happen.
They won't.
Nicholas dropped the crown onto my head. It was heavier than it looked, thorns pricking my head. When I tried to pull it off, Nicholas fixed it properly on top of my head. I could feel the man's blood wet on my ears and forehead. Nicholas's smile wasn't that of Nicholas from Dazzle. It was a monster with his face. I scrambled back away from there, and the four of them followed me, their expressions morphing from human to animal.
You have a 20-second head start, Nicholas whispered.
Then we'll find you.
Cora helped me to my feet.
her fingernails slicing into my arm. Felix opened the door and I staggered out onto the hallway. I could see a thin line of drool seeping down his chin. He was grinning, waiting for the hunt. And for a disorienting moment, time seemed to stop. The world tipped left and right, blurring together. I took a single step and then another, my heart beating out of my chest. And then I was running for my life, the world spinning around me. Halfway down the hallway, I risked a glance back. The corridor was empty. Reaching the door, my shaking hands were on the handle. "Help!" I managed to croak. "Mom!" Another glance back and still no sign of them. I slammed my fists into the door. "Mom!" Before they appeared, one after the other. Cora in front, sprinting toward me, a bloodthirsty grin spread across her lips. Then Phoebe, her swinging arms driving momentum, scarlet-stained hair hanging in darkened, almost black eyes. Felix was taking his time, lagging behind. Nicholas. Where was Nicholas? Falling through the door, Cora caught up to me, her fingers entangling in my hair. She yanked me back, her hands coming to wrap around my throat, fingers stabbing into my flesh, before she howled, falling back. I didn't see what had hit her, but I did see Felix and Phoebe quicken their pace toward me. Their faces were no longer human, contorting into those of monsters. Phoebe's teeth were on full show. I slammed the door on them, pressing myself against it. The door rattled under my weight, and I slammed my hand over my mouth to muffle my screams. "Go." Nicholas's voice was behind the door. I could see the exit ahead. My chest ached. "Mom." I flinched when the boy's weight slammed into rough wood. "Did you hear me?" he yelled. "Run!" They were so close. As if in a trance, I threw myself into a sprint. The banging behind me stopped, and I was left in silence. I kept running, even when I no longer recognized my surroundings, straight into a security guard's back. I didn't realize I was screaming until the guy turned to me, eyes wide, lips moving. "Kid, hey, are you okay?" He was speaking, but I was crying, screaming that they were coming to get me. "Hey, it's okay, it's okay, you're safe. What are you even doing here?" His voice sliced through my wails and I managed to point behind me. "They're coming!" I managed to choke out. When I turned to the door to see if Dazzle were going to crash through, I was startled to find there was no door. "Who is coming?" The man was trying to calm me down. "Dazzle!" I shrieked, clawing at my head for my crown, but my fingers just snatched at my ponytail. I tried again, prodding for the crown of wildflowers sitting on my head, except it was gone. Blinking down at my hands, my gut flipped over. My hands were clean. The security guard was already speaking into his talkie, and I was looking around in confusion. The posters of all five members decorating the walls were gone. The plush carpet leading into the stage was gone. "Got a hysterical kid with me in Zone 4. I need backup right now." His arms were coming down on my shoulders and I was hyperventilating. I didn't remember this hallway we were in. I didn't remember the yellow tape everywhere or the mangled metal doors. Half an hour earlier, I had been inside a venue watching my favorite show. Now, I didn't know where I was. I didn't know where my mom was. I looked for anything familiar, a stage or any Dazzle fans, but there was nothing. The security guard was firm but kind, giving me a bottle of water. I drank the whole thing, almost choking on it. He asked me why I was on my own inside an old building, and I said I was seeing my favorite TV show in concert. The man gave me an odd look. "Uh-huh. Where's your mother?" I found my mom waiting outside, a handful of police officers coming to check me over. They didn't find any blood or crowns of flowers. When I told them I was at a Dazzle concert, they looked at my mom, who was sickly pale. "Ma'am, this building has been abandoned for almost 20 years, he said. He shot me a look. "However, it used to be a concert hall for little ones. It closed down after a cult-like group kidnapped a bunch of teenagers, tortured and murdered them. That case still sticks in my head to this day." He caught my eye. "It scares me what humans are capable of doing to other humans, man. Those kids will never grow up." Mom shot him the eyes, and he cleared his throat, seemingly snapping out of it. "That was a long time ago, though. It's not much of a public case. Our town wanted to keep it quiet." Ignoring him, Mom grabbed my hands gently. "You were gone for 6 hours," she whispered. "Where did you go, Ruby?
You were watching television. Where did you go?
When I told her I was watching Dazzle, her grip on my hand tightened.
Listen to me very carefully, she whispered.
Mom tucked a strand of hair behind my ear.
Did a strange person take you from our house?
I shook my head.
We went to see Dazzle. You took me in the car, Mom.
Mom's eyes hardened.
Rumi, there is no TV show called Dazzle, she said, her tone firm.
I thought she was saying that because she was mad, but then the police were agreeing. I started to protest, to tell her that the nail polish she was wearing was Dazzle-themed. It was Nicholas's color, just for me. Bright yellow. We painted them that morning. She cut me off, shaking me gently.
Did a stranger come into the house and take you away?
No, I said, and her face fell.
Then how did you get here?
Mum was crying.
Rumi, how did you get to the city on your own?
Her eyes narrowed.
Did someone on television tell you to? Is that who you're talking about?
She shook me.
Is that who these Dazzle people are?
It didn't matter how many times I told her. Mum was adamant Dazzle did not exist. I tried to argue that this band was real. I described them to her, and she thought I was talking about High Five and the Wiggles. But at home, my bedroom was no longer Dazzle-themed. The colors were still there, but all of their merchandise I had lining my dresser was gone. All of my albums, even the special editions, gone. The large poster of Nicholas on my dresser, and my Phoebe drawing pad, even my Felix pencils.
But we were seeing them,
I kept saying over and over again. Tears were filling my eyes. I didn't want to remember them. I needed Mum to remember them so I could catch them. My fingers grasped at strands of my hair before they caught me.
We went to see them perform,
I told Mum. Then, when more police came to our door, I told them the same thing. I told the woman with the weird-smelling officer, who said she was trying to scan my brain, that Dazzle were still out there. She just gave me a sympathetic smile and a hard candy. At school, kids started to call me a freak, even the kids who went to the concert, who I knew were Dazzle fans. They looked at me like I was crazy.
Dazzle?
They laughed.
Don't you mean High Five?
I told them no. They were different presenters. But admittedly, my descriptions were similar. I did watch High Five for context, but they were for a much younger audience. They are not and never were Dazzle. I spent the next days, weeks, months, waiting for them to catch me. Months turned into years, and I stopped taping my window shut and sleeping in the basement. Dazzle became less of a reality in my head, and more of a messed up delusion I'd had as a child. I turned 13 years old, and Lyra Bellamy in my class had a party. She insisted on flower crowns, but I tugged mine off and threw it in the garbage. When I was asked to explain myself, I couldn't. I couldn't bear to look at my mom's rose garden. I pulled out her flower bed and dumped them in the trash, my heart in my throat. Mum didn't reprimand me, but she stopped planting flowers, creating a vegetable garden instead. I turned 15, then 16 years old. Dazzle was nothing but a memory, old drawings in my bedroom I had scribbled in an attempt to get someone to remember. I did try. I described them to new friends, but they gave me an odd look. How was it possible a whole generation of kids had forgotten Dazzle? Mandela effect. My friend Kane suggested it over dinner. He was convinced I was remembering splinters from a parallel universe. 17. I threw out the drawing pads. 18. I stopped going to therapy. 19. I applied to college and got a job. I finished high school, moving to the city for college. I thought I could push it all to the back of my head, gaslighting myself into believing I was a weird, attention-seeking child with a crazy imagination. 2 days ago, I was up to my neck in coursework. I was barely awake, surviving on store-bought ramen and Red Bull. My laptop was on, YouTube videos playing in the background. I clicked on a random video essay, and the autoplay was my background noise. It was around midnight when the third or fifth video ended, and a voice sliced onto my concentration. "Have you ever wanted to entertain children?" The voice was familiar, frozen in time. Hesitantly, I clicked on the YouTube tab, and an ad was playing. The ad was colorful on a white background, and there Nicholas was, still in his signature green costume. He hadn't aged a day. The last time I saw him, there was a piece of him still there. I think Nicholas was the one who stopped Cora catching me.
I think part of him really did want to escape them, which is why he made me a tribute, so I could run. But now he was their spokesperson, their mindless puppet.
Well, now you can. Join Dazzle and become part of our family. We would love to have you, and we will come to you.
Nicholas's smile grew. He pointed at the screen, directly at me.
Yes, you.
His face drooped to the side again, lips splitting into a grin, a teasing sing-song crackling through my headphones.
We found you, Ruby.
I slammed the laptop shut, and just like when I was a kid, I crawled into bed. The next morning, I awoke feeling sick to my stomach. I slipped out of bed, stumbling into the bathroom. Something felt weighty on my head. My thoughts blurred into cotton candy. Was my window open? The early morning breeze tickled the back of my neck. I definitely shut it. Standing in front of my bathroom mirror, there it was. My tribute crown, drowned in blood, sitting on my head, rivulets of red beating down my face. Looking at my arms, yellowish bruises marked my skin. I could see exactly where they had grabbed me, clawing at my flesh, playing with me. They've come for me again, and this time I'm sure they're going to catch me. If there are any Dazzle fans who remember these guys, please tell me. Have they visited you too? And is there a way I can escape them, or find out who or what the hell they are? That's the end of the story. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did and you're on YouTube, I'd love it if you'd like the video or even leave a comment letting me know your thoughts. If you'd like to also, you can join our Discord. It's a fun little place to come and hang out. And if you'd like to support the channel even more, there is a Patreon available that does early access uploads and other little fun things from time to time. So at the end of the day, I just really appreciate you listening, and I hope I will see you in the next one.